you're walking up King's Highway.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Highway to heaven. I come before you this morning, giving all honor and all praise to Almighty God, mm-hmm. who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Mm-hmm. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Minister Raleigh, Brother McMillan, my lovely wife who's out in the hall, and my beautiful, beautiful church family.
Bless you.
It's an honor, it's a privilege, and it's always an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Take control, Lord. Take control right now of this submitted vessel, Lord. Oh God, cover me right now in humility, Lord God, and reduce what I think I know, Lord. Reduce it in a common denominator to what you would have to be saying this morning, Lord God, all over the world. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. Speak, Lord, no matter what I've studied, no matter what I think I'm supposed to say, Lord. Take charge. Take charge, Lord, and guide the words of my mouth, and take control of my mind, and take control of my heart and my soul, Lord God, and speak a word, for this world is in need of a word. This body is in need of a word. This vessel is in need of a word. Speak, Lord. Take me right now, Lord, and hide me, Lord. All right. Behind your cross, way, way, way behind your cross, Lord God, that when someone looks at me, they will only see and hear you, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Use me. Use me right now, any way you see fit, Lord. Do with me what you wish. I submit. Take control. Lead, guide, and direct. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir, God. Thank you.
This morning, we'll be going into the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. And by and large, picking up the same topic that we were on last week, we'll be coming from the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. And I've had it read already, the 7th through the 18th verse, but I will repeat a portion of it, starting at verse 13. It reads thusly: "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Mm-hmm. But their minds were blinded. Mm-hmm. For unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, mm-hmm. there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And this morning, as I said, we'll be continuing where we were last week. And the topic last week we had, because it was Communion Sunday, we had communion preceding the topic, and then we had a colon, and the topic was a chance for intimate dialogue with the Lord. And we will use that same topic this morning, a chance for intimate dialogue with the Lord, but it will be preceded with church folk.
All right.
Church folk. You put a colon and then a chance for intimate dialogue with the Lord. When we discussed last week, we talked about communion, and we all know that communion is that ritual that various churches go through, some more than others. That's when they have the representative of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ and grape juice or what type of bread, but it's a ritual that we go through. But what we were looking at last week, and we'll continue deeper, the definition that is to communicate with someone or something in a very personal or spiritual way. To commune. And of course, this day we'll be talking about communing with God. Mm-hmm. If you will, move a little closer to the Lord. Mm-hmm. But you know, many of you, I know I wonder it sometimes, just why aren't we, particularly the ones that's been on this journey for such a long time, the ones that participate, and every time the church doors open, they are here, and the ones who stay in the Bible, and have you ever wondered why we don't stay in perfect communion with God? Just what is it that keeps us from staying 24/7 in perfect communion with God? And perhaps we should not be so surprise, because all through the Bible, you will find that God's people are wishy-washy. They're close in one minute, and they're making vows one minute, and they're determined one minute. And I'm not saying that they're not superficial; they're serious. They are determined one minute, and the next minute they're going a different direction.
Yes.
But what is it that keeps us from being intimate with the Lord? Mm-hmm. Last week we were talking, we looked into Luke, and in the 11th chapter of Luke, we read that even the disciples, God's own disciples, they struggled with really knowing God. Yeah. One day you found them, they were observing Jesus, and Jesus was in deep communion with his Father. And while he prayed, they noticed how Jesus spoke to God intimately. Mm-hmm. He didn't go through fancy rituals and big terms. He spoke to him intimately as a son would speak to his father. He spoke to him one-on-one. You weren't caught up with what people expect out of me and how I should say this and how people will respond if I say it the wrong way. He was not caught up with rules and rituals, but he was caught up with speaking intimately to his Father. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Yes. So the disciples wanted to have that same connection. Mm-hmm. So they asked Jesus that, so tell us the secret to having this close communion with the Father. How do I get a closer walk with thee? How can I move a little closer to the Lord? How can I make what I feel last longer? How can I keep it with me when I leave on Sunday and go to work on Monday and I still am full of the Spirit? How can I become more intimate? Jesus, in that same chapter, Luke 9 and 10, he reveals a simple truth and perhaps the secret to intimacy. Verse 9 and 10, Jesus said, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. But you see, one of our primary issues in obtaining intimacy with God is our failure or our inability to dialogue with him. You see, when we were talking last week, he says a difference between a dialogue and a monologue. See, most of us, when we go to God in prayer, we go in with a monologue. We go in with our list. We know what we want God to do for us, and we know even how fast we want God to do it. And so we go in with a monologue, and we got a script that says, here's what I want you to do, Lord. But you see, our prayer, if we want to be intimate with God, ought to be a dialogue. And a dialogue says, I talk some to you, and you talk some to me. And a dialogue with the Lord. See, if we just continue to speak to God on a surface level, we cheat ourselves of this ultimate goal of having an intimate relationship with him. If we keep praying like we're taught to pray, and when I talk about being taught to pray, you get into the church and most of the prayers you hear sound like the same thing. It's like they're all reading from a script.
Yes.
Not being intimate with the Lord. And a lot of times the reason you see the prayers sound the same because they forgot to say to the Lord, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me before I open my mouth and ask you. Tell me what it is that I need to ask you for so that when I ask you for it, we will come in agreement and I can ask what I will and I shall receive what I'm asking for because I'm in an intimate relationship with the Almighty. Hallelujah. When we look at God's word and God's people, church folk, you'll find something about it. And I'm going to walk through, and I won't be here long, but I'm going to walk through so you can see how God's people are, how God's people have always been. You see, even way back in Moses' time, when God called the Israelites out of Egypt, and he had to carry them through the wilderness. That time was a very short trip to the promised land. But all they had to do is to follow what God told them to do. If they could just function and concentrate on what God told them, it would have been a very short trip. But that's not how not our church folk do. See, God made it simple, but we tend to make things complex. So because they couldn't get it right, God said, I'm going to have to carry you through a different route. I gotta give you some bumps and some bruises, and maybe you'll get what we're trying to get you to see. Mm-hmm. So when God's people, when God called them to the mountain, he said, all I need for you to do is to hear my word and to obey me. But God knew right away. He said, this people, my people, they have no means or no power. They can't do what I require out of them. And I already know that. I know that better than my people know that. So God even weighed back then, before he revealed Jesus Christ to us, way back then, he said to his people, he said, Moses, when you bring the people to me, he said, most of them, you're going to have to stop. And you're going to have to stop and put bounds on them, because most of them can't come to the Lord. Most of them can't come as close as they need to me, because most of them are not ready. Most of them have a fear of me, because when most of them come to me, it will reveal their shortcomings.
All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said, but they have a desire. They have seen me from afar. They believe in me. They want to come, but they just don't have what it takes to come too close to me right now. So when God called Moses, he said, take the whole crowd with you, but leave the others afar. Leave all but 74 of you, and leave them back here where you can come back to them and tell them what I said, but right now they can't hear from me. And then he told Moses, he said, you proceed with the 73 others. And he said, but bring them but so far, because even out of that group, and I'm talking about church folk now, not just the ones that's in the congregation on Sunday morning, if you have an evening program, but I'm talking about the church folk now, the ones that every time the church doors open, he said, bring them with you. They might know a little bit more about me and who I am. He said, but bring those 73 with you, but so far, because they still don't get it. It's just not their fault they don't get it, but they still don't get it. He said, and leave 72 of them on that second level. He said, and then you and Joshua alone come a little closer to me. He said, because only you and Joshua right now are in a quest. He said, Joshua, every time that he can get near me, he's coming. He's trying to get near. He's putting all himself forward.
All right, then. Mm-hmm.
He said, but yet if Joshua looked on the face of God, he said, Joshua would even fail. He said, so when you get so close to me, lead Joshua.
All right now. Yes.
And only you proceed any further. You see, that's the way it is today. Yes. You got the first level, that desire will get you so far. I want to know about the Lord. My curiosity caused me to want to know more about the Lord. But so that'll get me in the church doors, and I'll come every Sunday, and I'll see how far I can go with it. But if you come long enough, you will develop a determination. And you see that determination in you, you say, I'm going to move a little closer to the Lord. I want something else. It's something that I'm not getting. I want to move a little closer to the Lord. And then determination takes over. And if you deal long enough with the desire and your determination, then God will come in and inspiration. God Almighty. See, you never been there. You never let yourself go. And some of us that have not ever let go. Because we're tied up. And it's not our fault, but we're tied up. We don't know how to let go and let God. We've been taught for so long what we need to do and how we need to do it, and we can't let go and realize that it's all about my Maker. I can do nothing myself.
All right.
We're afraid. He says, if I see the face of God, He would look right through me, and He would see where I come up short. He would see my heart. I can come in front of people and they don't see my heart. But when I go face to face with Almighty God, He sees through me, and he tears down this image that's out front, and He says, I know who you are.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
To be intimate with the Lord. So he said, only Moses can come any closer to me. He said, let Moses come. Moses has gone through some stuff, and it was not an easy road for Moses, because Moses thought he was going to do things himself, and Moses had to be thrown out into the wildernesses and be a shepherd for years and years before God says, now I got you molded, and now you're ready to come to me and let me make you what I am.
Yes.
God Almighty can make you. Hallelujah. So Moses was ready for this deepening intimacy, a communion with God, if you will. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Exodus 33:11 says it like this. Says, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face.
Face to face.
Just as a man speaks to his friend. Mm-hmm. God said, with him will I speak mouth to mouth. That's Numbers 12:8. What else could be more intimate than speaking one-on-one with the Almighty?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, ask you a question this morning. You know, if we lived way back then, and then I'm going to come up here and we're going to go through this scripture for the day. If you lived way back then, which group would you be in?
All right.
Would you just be with all of the church folk that go just so far and can't go any further? Or would you be with the 74 to move a little closer with the Lord? Or would you be Joshua that goes much, much closer to the Lord? And then, could you be Moses? See, I want to tell you a story this morning. You see what Paul was trying to explain. He said, and the way you understand it is by going to the Word of God, because God can speak to you through his word. He said, what I'm trying to show you when I tell you about this people and how God's people moved, he said, and Moses could come all the way up and speak with me. He said, but let me tell you, see, Moses still is not God. And Moses is not Jesus. Moses could speak to God. Mm-hmm. Yes. And all of us now can speak to God.
That's
right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You see, that's the story that this Old Testament is trying to tell you. We all now, because Jesus died there on the cross, and when he died on the cross, then the veil was rent. They say, you don't have to go now through the pastor and through the teachers, but you can go direct to God and talk to God Almighty one-on-one.
Yes.
Speak to him like a natural man. You can dialogue with the Lord. You can find out, Lord, what must I do to move higher, Lord? I can't find it when I go to church on Sunday. It is not that what the preacher says. I got to move a little closer to the Lord myself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Get intimate with the Lord. Good questions about it. Let me bring you to today's scripture. And you see, when you look at that 2 Corinthians, the New Living Translation says it like this, starting with verse 15. It says, yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, y'all didn't have to read it. I gave it to you. No charge. But when you read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil. And they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away.
Yes.
Y'all hear me?
Yes.
Y'all better listen to me this morning. See, because Pastor Davis has no power, but you it's something in this word that's going to reveal something to you. It says if you just go to the Lord, turn to the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might, and then the veil.
Come on down.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir, God.
Amen. It'd be taken away. So, 17 says, for the Lord is the Spirit.
The Lord.
And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Come on now. You want to be free?
So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his image as we look on his face. Let me back up a minute. Verse 11. It talks about how glorious the old covenant was.
Yes.
And it tells you that if that was glorious, then what we got now is much, much more glorious. Now watch this verse 13. If we get nothing else, get this. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Let me explain that to you. You see, when you read it, this is what Paul was talking about. So you're blind, and when you read it, you think that the veil was there because of the glory of God. That, but the true reason that Moses had this veil over his face, he said, I don't want you to stare at something that's passing away, because as powerful as I am and as close to God as I am, I have no power. So I don't want you to see what's going away from me, because I can only get so close to God, and then the glory of God will wear off of me, and I have to go back and be with the Lord again. So I don't want you looking at me, because I have no power.
Yes, hallelujah.
Moses said, I'll point you to he who has all power in his hand. All the way back from the Old Testament, he said, I'll point you to Jesus, because he's got all power in his hand. It's not me. The veil on my face, it's not trying to hide the glory of God. Mm-hmm. It's just trying to show you that it's not in me, that mm-hmm. God's got all power,
yes,
all power in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is turn to the Lord, and you can do it all by yourself. You don't have to be in CLLC. You can turn to the Lord. And
yes.
When you turn with earnestness, you can turn to Almighty God and say, Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
And you don't have to be fancy, and you don't have to have fancy words, and you don't have to have quit doing this and quit doing that. He said, I will take you just as you are. All you got to do is come humble. When you come humble, say, and look at the Lord and say, Lord, fix me.
Fix
I want to have an intimate walk with the Lord. I want you to talk to me like a father does to his son, like a friend do to another friend. I want you to speak one-on-one with me. I want to be empowered with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Come on,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And Paul said, you don't have to keep going like the Israelites were. I'm up today. And I'm down tomorrow. And I'm close to the Lord now, but tomorrow I'm so far away, I don't know how I'm going to get back. But Paul says you can go from glory
to glory.
He said you can go from glory. He said you get in the presence of Almighty God and let God fill you with the Holy Spirit. But don't think that you're so high and mighty that you don't need the Lord. But by the time it starts to wear off, go back and get some more.
Yes.
And move from glory to glory, and stay intimate with the Lord.
Yes,
sir. Thou, Lord, with the Lord, so that when I'm on my way to work and I don't know what I might face today, but I can speak to the Lord, because I know who I'm going to face it with. If I just whisper to the Lord, because we are close, I can talk to him just like my friend. I don't have to give him a fancy prayer. I can call on the name of the Lord, and I can say, Lord, I need you to go with me.
That's right.
Yes, hallelujah.
And know that he hears you, and because it's my friend. I don't have to drum on you. I just say to you, I need you.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ask.
Yes.
Seek.
Mm-hmm.
Knock.
Mm-hmm.
Ask.
Thank you, God.
Lord, I've been trying. I'm on this road, but I can't get there. I feel like I'm missing something. Just ask. My Bible tells me that if you ask the Lord to fill me with the Holy Spirit, he will. All you got to do is ask. He gives it to anybody who asks. To fill me, Lord.
Hallelujah, God.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
You might have to help me get past myself, though.
Because
I know some stuff, Lord.
Oh,
and I've been functioning in the world pretty good. I think I got some stuff with me, and I don't want to give it all away and admit that I'm nothing in your sight, but help me, Lord, get past me. That's the toughest obstacle you'll find, if you can get past yourself and let God say, I'll take it from here, and I don't need your help. Let me direct you. Hallelujah. Ask. He'll fill you with power.
Yes, sir, God.
But then seek. Just stay on that same road. Don't stop. Don't think that you've got it and that you're holier than thou and so righteous that you don't need it anymore. But stay on that path. Keep seeking the Lord day in and day out. Keep seeking the Lord because I need you 24/7. I need you day by day. So seek him. And then when you're going through something, don't know what to do. Everybody's been there when you got a situation that you thought you had it all together, but you're facing a situation and you don't know what to do. Start knocking. Start knocking. Start knocking on the Lord's door and saying, Lord, I know you're there. Because I asked for you and I sought you out and I know you're back there, Lord. I just need to hear from you and I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to knock.
Yes.
Until you hear my cry. I'm not knocking because I doubt you, but I'm knocking because I know you can hear my cry, Lord, and I need for you to answer. I'm going to knock on the door.
Yes.
Until
yes,
you come. I'm determined. I don't know about you. But I'm determined.
Yes,
ma'am. To see Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Face to face.
Yes, ma'am.
Time after time.
Yes.
It's where I get my strength. Mm-hmm. Dialoguing.
Dialogue.
With the Lord.
Yes.
A chance to be intimate with the Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for clarification. Thank you, Lord, for your continual guidance. Thank you, Lord, for being there. Even when I'm not, Lord, you're still there.
Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes.
Thank you, Lord, for your patience.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for your grace.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord, for you are God. And beyond thee, there is no other. We praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.